I think it's a traditional term of carol services to have a sermon. But this isn't really so much a sermon as a British Rail announcement. You may prefer a sermon, but it's a British Rail announcement. We're standing on platform 2, and then comes the British Rail announcement. I forgot to apologise though, because I have to say that it's not quite authentic as a British Rail announcement, in so much as you'll be able to hear this one. Unfortunately, although the sound, the old sound system is very good, it is very good, it isn't actually equipped with the state-of-the-art distortion box used by British Rail, which renders even the simplest message completely unintelligible, especially the important bits. So, as I say, that this isn't so much a sermon as a British Rail announcement, and we'll get to it in a minute, because it's very, very important that you hear it. But in the meantime, you're on platform 2. You're on platform 2, and you're peering down the line towards Christmas. You have a little peer down the line there. Looking down the line towards Christmas, can you see it coming in? You actually are a bit early. In fact, you're 2.5 weeks early. But you can't resist a quick peer. And there aren't many of those around. So, as you look down, as you're looking down the line at platform 2, towards Christmas, what are you feeling? What actually are you feeling about Christmas? Are you feeling dread? Boredom? Cynicism? Excitement? You're on platform 2 and you're looking for Christmas. You're waiting for Christmas. You've been here many times before. It's pretty familiar. Platform 2. Oh, you know it like the back of your hand. The only good thing is, I suppose, they do at least change the ads, the hoardings. You look up and there's a new one above your head as you're standing there. It's advertising a cure, a new cure for the common cold. Wow. Apparently British Rail are behind it, behind its development. It's not completely effective, but it does mean your nose only runs in good weather. But you're not interested. To be honest, you're not interested in the ads as you're standing there on platform 2. Because even now, as you look down the line, you're beginning to doubt the value of all this. Really. You're looking down the line towards Christmas, and you're seeing nothing. And you're thinking, well, what's the point? Really, what's the point of the Christmas story amidst all the impossibles which surround us? I mean, you look at the news. I'm not going to give some glib run through of all the problems in the world at the moment. You know them better than I do, and you feel them more than I do. But they're there, and we know them all. But you might only have a look at this nation. You know, you might have a look at only England. And again, if you listen to the media, you might think, well, what's happening to this country at the moment? You know? I mean, everything seems to be collapsing. You know, is the government collapsing? The BBC is collapsing? The monarchy is collapsing? The church is collapsing? And even the test electors are being challenged sometimes. And you think, well, you know, what is happening to England, let alone the rest of the world? All these impossibles. But perhaps even that is a holiday compared to having a look at your insides and looking at all the impossibles inside yourself. I mean, I don't know what your impossibles are at the moment, but you've got them. Things that really just make you want to rip out your hair. I mean, how can God come this Christmas? I mean, look at the impossibles. It beats leaf mould on the track at Finsbury Park, doesn't it? I mean, I suppose the most famous excuse, you know, for slow trains is the wrong type of snow, wasn't it? We had that last year, the wrong type of snow. But what we're looking at here, actually, as we wait for God this Christmas, is the wrong type of world. We've got the wrong type of world, we've got the wrong type of me.
So,
we're on platform two, and we're waiting for Christmas. Well, how are you feeling? A bit of good news then, because you see that someone's left a paper. Isn't it nice? When you're on the station, you see someone's left a nice paper, don't have to pay for it, you just pick it up and read it. Well, that's what happens now. You're on platform two, you're waiting for Christmas, you see a paper and you pick it up and you start reading. And there's a story by a staff reporter, Luke, and as you begin to read, you become aware that this story you're reading is actually just full of more impossibilities. Now, well, that's all you need, isn't it? That is all you need. The story of, I don't know, two elderly people, Zechariah and Elizabeth, being promised a son. And not just any son, but a son of fairly epic proportions. And by that I don't mean a fat son. I mean a very, very famous son. And in fact, it's going to turn out to be John the Baptist. Well, we know that now. It's going to turn out to be John the Baptist, and he's going to prepare the way for Jesus. But all that's in the future. Well, we're going to hear about that later. That's in the future. For the moment, we're just concentrating on the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth hearing the news. And here is Zechariah, and he's actually, I don't know if you noticed this, he's on the priestly rota in Jerusalem. He's on the priestly rota. Actually, that sounds a bit technical, doesn't it? The priestly rota. But I think it's, I don't know, I mean, I suppose being on the priestly rota in the first century BC was probably very much like being on a church flower rota. Actually, I don't think it was anything like being on church flower rota, so we'll just cancel that. I think, anyway, you'll know what it's like to be on a rota anyway, don't you? You certainly do if you're a Christian anyway. You're on a rota, you turn up when it's your turn and you do your stuff, don't you? Whatever it is. That's what a rotas are about. And in fact, being on the priestly rota in Jerusalem meant burning the incense on the altar in the temple. In fact, it was a very big honour. This was not the rota that you're on and when it was your turn you asked somebody else to do it. Now, this was the rota that when your turn came on you did it. Big honour. It didn't come to many during their lifetime. It had come to Zechariah. And here he was praying. He's there, can you imagine it, in the Holy of Holies. He's all by himself. He's praying. Perhaps that's something you do. What he's doing. Suddenly, a terrifying thing happens. Angel turns up beside the altar. Oh no, you're not dreaming. That is an angel there. And yes, the angel is by the altar. Woo! Now, I can see a bit of an argument breaking out here, because you might say, well, that's a bit insensitive of the angel, isn't it? Frankly. No, you shouldn't just turn up so much without to buy your leave, by the altar, you know, with no warning. Because of course you're going to frighten people. But then, you know, let's look at it from the angel's point of view. I mean, I don't want to get caught up as sort of a mediator here or anything, but I mean, because mediators, it's a very uncomfortable position of being. But look, you've got to look at it from the angel's point of view as well. I mean, how do you, as an angel, fresh from the presence of God, how do you appear and not terrify someone? Really? I mean, do you hide behind the curtain a little bit? And go, cooey, cooey, you know. You might as well just get on with it, really. You might as well just appear, mind you, if you're from the angel's point of view. You might as well just appear. Because the fact is, I mean, when God speaks, you know, it does tend to be memorable. When God speaks, it has impact. I mean, it may be that God will speak tonight. Stranger things have happened. And when God does speak, it is memorable. It has impact. And that's the way it is. So, here we are. The amazed Zechariah. He's listening to this angel and to this completely impossible story of how he, Zechariah, and his elderly wife, Elizabeth, are going to have a child. Now, of course, Zechariah doesn't believe it. These are very sensible because, you know, does the angel know how old they are? They are old. And I mean, they were childless before old age. So no, of course, Zechariah doesn't believe him. Here are some patently unbelievable words. Words with an extraordinarily large credibility problem. Words just to make you fall off your chair in derisive and rib-aching laughter. A bit like words like the recession's bottoming out and, you know, behold the green shoots of recovery and things like that. So Zechariah doesn't believe. He doesn't believe. But the question is, the more interesting question is, do you believe? You're standing there on platform 2. You're looking down the line towards Christmas. But what do you believe? And what do you believe about Christmas? Christmas. Crush mass. There's certainly no room at the inn during happy hour. Yeah. Crowds. Lots of people. Crush mass. Cash mass. It's so expensive, Christmas. It's all about money. It's so expensive buying presents. You can't get a decent present under a fiver. But I mean, look how many people we all know. So what do we do? Cash mass. Crass mass. Oh, there's plenty of crassness around. You know, sentimental wittering about peace on earth. Well, there's lots of that around. There are lots of Christmas specials on telly and stuff like that. Crush mass, cash mass, crass mass, but Christmas, Christ mass. As you stand there on platform 2, you've actually been reading the beginning of the Christmas story. But so what? It's an old story. It's been running longer than the mousetrap. Maybe even longer than the question of sport. But there it is, you know? There it is. It's the first act of the Christmas story. That's what we've been listening to. The lights have gone down, the curtain lifts, and who's on stage? Zechariah, Elizabeth, and an angel from the presence of God. And there unfolds this incredible story about this child they are going to have. And in fact, this first act that we've listened to actually sort of sets the tone for the whole play, which will unravel as the weeks go by now. Because it's all pretty incredible. The Christmas story is all pretty incredible. As we embark on the Christmas story tonight, we can be fairly sure of one thing, and that is that nothing remotely sensible is going to happen over the next few weeks. And as soon as you sense something sensible happening, then you know, oh dear, we've lost the Christmas story. Because nothing sensible happens with the Christmas story. When we enter Christmas, we're entering a sort of sensible-free zone. The elderly Elizabeth's pregnancy, a completely unfamous woman giving birth in a backstreet dive to a future king, the infinite becoming finite, God becoming human, mystery squeezing into skin. You know how some people say, let's be sensible about all this. Well, this is a story with all the let's be sensible about this bits deleted out. We're entering a sensible free zone with when incredible things happen. So no, this story isn't normal. But, and I'm just actually going to pause here, if that's alright. We've got time, haven't we? Yeah, we've got time. I'm just going to pause because I think there may be one or two people in here who don't realise how big that word is, which I just said is. But, because actually it's a very, 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 very big word. I'm just about to use it in a sentence. I haven't used it in a sentence yet, but I'm about to. And that word, but, is very, very big. In fact, it's been measured. I mean, I couldn't bring it along tonight, it's just too big to bring in here. But it has been measured, and I'm reliably informed that this word bus is actually taller than the Canary Wharf. It is longer than the Great Wall of China. And in deference to the panto season, it is wider than the grin on the face of a Cheshire Cat. That's how big the word bus is. And now I'm going to attempt single-handedly to put it into a sentence. The Christmas story isn't normal, but the people in it are. The Christmas story isn't normal, but, think Canary Wharf, think Great Wall of China, think wide Cheshire Cat's grin, the people in it are. You're standing there on platform two, you're looking down the line towards Christmas, and suddenly you remember why. Why you're waiting. What longings brought you here in the first place? You remember now because actually here is a story that is at once impossible and yet normal. And that's just what I need. A story impossible enough to cope with all the impossibles that I present to God, yet normal enough to include me in the cast. Impossible enough to cope with all the impossibles that you present to God. I don't know what impossibles are you presenting to God at the moment as you think about your life. There are so many impossibles beneath the surface of each one of us. I don't know yours, but maybe you do. I don't know, is it your work situation? Is it your family? Is it your past? Your present? Your future? A relationship? A fear? I don't know, but you do. So many impossibles beneath the surface of each one of us. So thank God that tonight we actually have a story that is at home with impossibles. God is at home with impossibles, even with your impossibles. And yet thank God too that it's a normal story. It's a normal story about normal people, very normal people. There is no such thing as a saint. There is no such thing as a saint. You know, some of us end up in stained glass windows. But that's more by luck than judgment. There are no saints. So we can give up spending our lives with our noses pressed towards the window of other people's lives and saying, oh, I wish I was like them. There are no saints. There are no heroes. There are no gurus. Here I am, half concentrating on preaching a sermon, the other half of me is wondering what the football results were this afternoon, because I missed them. You see, there are no saints, there are no heroes, there are no gurus. There are just people like you and me, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Oh yes, but they're all caught up in a divinely inspired story, but they themselves, they're as normal as traffic jams. They could almost live in Ambridge. It's just so earthy, this story. It's as earthy as Gardner's Question Time. And it's more nitty-gritty than a gravel merchant's backyard. That's the story we're looking at. The story is a fanfare for the common woman. The story is a fanfare to the common man. A story that is at once impossible and yet normal. And that's why you're on platform two. Well, it's why I'm on platform two anyway. I want that. I want God's impossible activity to meet with my normal activity. I ache for that. And perhaps you do. It's a little known fact. that Heineken were offered the Christmas Story contract. You know Heineken? The beer that reaches the part other beers cannot reach, supposedly. Heineken turned it down. There are some places that even their weak brew cannot reach. Only God could pick up the Christmas Story contract and deliver. Deliver what was necessary. Only God could meet Elizabeth and Zechariah at the place where they felt themselves to be at their weakest, and that is in their inability to have children. And actually say to them, Elizabeth, Zechariah, that which you perceive to be weak and humiliating, that which you feel to be weak and humiliating, that place will become a place of hope and glory. How about that? Only God could do that. Only God could pick up the Christmas Story contract and deliver. Now, the church doesn't have a monopoly on good news, but there isn't too much good news around to beat that. Elizabeth, Zechariah, that which you perceive to be weak and humiliating, that which you feel to be weak and humiliating, that place will become a place of hope and glory. I'll do that. I'll do that for you. And that's why you're on platform 2 waiting for Christmas. So, what's your prayer? You don't have to tell me, but tell God. What's your prayer on platform 2? And then there comes, so prayer begins to emerge. Prayers take time sometimes. But then there comes the announcement. Do you remember at the beginning I said this wasn't really a sermon, it was basically a British Rail announcement, and an important one. And well, we've been waiting long enough, I think. And here it is. Tannoy is switched on. A few crackles. And then an almost angelically clear voice says, "Do not be afraid, for your prayer is heard." Oh, that's amazing. Every syllable is clear. The distortion box must be unplugged or something. Definitely smacks of divine activity. And then the announcement is repeated once more. Do not be afraid, for your prayer is heard. Well, can I believe that? Can I believe the creator and sustainer of the universe hears my prayer? They were, of course, the words spoken by the angel to Zechariah and Elizabeth, and now they're being spoken to you. Do not be afraid, for your prayer is heard. Your prayer tonight, your prayer tomorrow, your prayer next Thursday. Strange, but as you hear those words again, it almost makes you feel a bit like Elizabeth and Zechariah. But then you are